You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580 with Prout Financial Design, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great. It is great. Check, check, check.
Check, check.
It's, am I on yet?
yeah, you can.
Okay, good.
Can you hear yourself?
Nah, okay. Turn up your...
You have
independent
controls over there for your headphones.
I do indeed.
How about that?
You bet.
Nice.
Very
yeah.
Luxurious.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On Thursday, 9/8/22. Love doing this show. Talk about energized this morning. We are loaded for bear. Loaded for bear, yeah? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and we have with us Heidi Cartwright. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Great to
Seems
have you.
Seems like people are getting back to business. Labor Day's over.
So. Yeah. Get those children back in school. Bye-bye now. We'll see you later. No, we really do love you. I mean it. I get it, though. You know, so glad to have them back in Schule. De Schule. And then with us, too, Deanne Jennings. The estimable Deanne Jennings.
Good morning. I love September.
Ooh. Yeah. So we have a lot to discuss. Retiring in a recession. In case any of you thought, well, are we in a recession? And I know that the politicians are arguing about whether or not we're in one, but the stats would say that we are. Whether or not we are right now remains to be argued amongst those who are in other places. But most of the people on the street are saying, yeah, this is a recession. Given that reality, what do we need to think about to retire? Now, Heidi is also going to be talking about Social Security benefits, spousal Social Security benefits. Say that three times fast, right?
Some
great info
that.
On that. Yes, there we go.
Three times fast, right.
And then Deanne's going to be covering some really cool stuff in the stat side, too, we were talking about. So before the show, how to retire during a recession. Looking at your finances and setting up a plan. By the way, this is from Rachel Hartman. Setting up a plan could help create a sustainable lifestyle. Well, minor adjustments. I was thinking about this article this morning, and of course the old axiom from Mr. Hemingway, now's no time to think of what you do not have. Mm-hmm. Think of what you can do with what there is. So, I mean, I say this to myself because everybody on the business scene knows that we're having to make adjustments. As a client said so well 2 days ago, he said, Dennis, he said, when this inflation calms down, the prices aren't going to go back to their previous level. They're going to stay where they are and then go slowly up from there with obviously some adjustments here and there. But they're not going to go back down. So these increases in prices that we've seen, most of them are going to stay right where they're at. Happy talk, right? Mm. Oh, Dennis, you're just really gearing me up here. Well, so the reality is inflation will continue from here, most likely at a lower pace, but these increased prices are most likely, most of them, here to stay. So adjusting, what do we do about this? Number one, if you're planning to retire during a financial downturn, or you may be trying to stay retired as a part of this, it can be worrisome to give up your job. No kidding. This is especially true for those with portfolios that have dropped in value. I think everybody can raise their hand on that one.
Mm-hmm.
You may be facing retirement with fewer funds available and uncertainty ahead. So to retire during a recession, some great points to think about. it can be helpful to know, number one, look at financial projections to evaluate your portfolio. You all know this, right? I mean, am I saying anything any of us don't know? Well, if you can, if I may preach, do it. Get that done. Review things. Sit down with your people. Consider, number three, your work options. Many folks discount that. Well, what difference is $1,000 going to make a month, or a $500? And Heidi had a great point about that in our pre-show practice moments. She was referencing this. Go ahead, Heidi.
Okay.
Please. Yeah.
Well, they had an example that I thought really helped you understand.
Yes.
Like if you wanted to take a part-time job or maybe continue working at a reduced hours at your current position, if you work 20 hours a week at a job paying $12 an hour, and the way things are going, I mean, most jobs are paying more than that, you will earn $960 per month or $12,000 per year. This is equivalent to a 12% annual distribution of a portfolio valued at $100,000. So that just sort of puts it in perspective for you by working a little bit how much you could relieve your portfolio of that attrition during a down market.
Yeah, financial advisors would rather say that's equivalent to a 6% withdrawal rate, which is really quite high, not 12, at $200,000. So you get that. Well, am I going to continue that for the rest of my life? Well, I sure hope not. But this may help you get over this bump of what's going on. All right?
What was that? How many hours was that? 20?
20
hours.
Okay. At $12 an hour.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. It's not as though you don't have options. What are those options? Okay? What could I do? Yeah. Go ahead, Ron.
Could we pause this topic for
a
moment?
Yes, sir.
Just for a moment. Sander is on the line in Northport with a question about inheriting property.
You bet.
All right. We'll get back.
Interesting.
Sander is on the line. Good morning, Sander. Let's see here.
Hello.
Oh,
hello,
Sander. Now we have you. We didn't have you there, Sander. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, hey. Ron, Dennis, and Heidi. How are you?
Good.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
You're not Sander Scott, are you? I only know one Sander
yep.
out there.
I am.
Oh, my gosh.
There are other Sanders around here, though. My question is, I've worked with a couple of different clients in real estate who have inherited property. And, you know, I helped a client who inherited from her sister sell that property within, you know, a couple of months of her sister's death, and then the tax preparer asked for an appraisal to prove the fair market value. And of course, I thought that putting the home up for sale and exposing it to the market through, you know, a real estate sales process would have been an adequate, assuming it was an arm's length transaction, would have been adequate to prove what the fair market value was to prove to the IRS that that's a fair stepped up basis amount. And so I'm wondering what advice you have. Do you need to get an appraisal done, or is selling it within a reasonable period of time, does that satisfy the IRS's requirement that it's quote unquote fair market value?
All right, so it's been 2 months since she passed away. Is that what you're saying?
Well, in this case, it was 2 months. You know, this sale is about 6 months old now, but we sold it within 2 months. And then her tax preparer, the sister's tax preparer, asked for an appraisal. You know, luckily in this case, there actually was one because her sister had taken out a reverse mortgage shortly prior to her death. But I'm just wondering, in other cases where I've got clients who have inherited property and put it up for sale and have not gone out and gotten an appraisal, what advice you have, you know, to be able to prove to the IRS that this is, you know, that it is fair market value, what it's sold for or what have you.
Well, in this case, you're lucky because you sold it, I think. Obviously, you may want to consult with another accountant. I think, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't know. I'll tell you this right up front, Sandra, okay? He doesn't know for sure whether an appraisal or an actual sale is better. But I would say, given that it's an actual sale, an arm's length transaction, I think that would be the only thing the IRS would care about. You know, it's a valid purchase and sale by an arm through an arm's length transaction.
I was going to say that's what my immediate reaction was, but then I wonder if the IRS is concerned that you might sell it for a low price to say, aha, it's a $500,000 property, but we sold it for $150 to somebody we know, therefore it's
worth... Given that it's in that range, though, that's always the question that I have. And I you know, if the buyer and or seller is willing to fight that, then fine. But because you already did have an appraisal, obviously, Cinder, that makes a difference. But I would check with a favored CPA, if you will. I would say I think either one works.
Well, Dennis, CPA. We can always ask John Sluice the next time he's in.
We're trying to get, by the way, Sandra, we're trying to get John in next week.
So we'll put that on the list to ask him.
We will.
Yep. Thank you. I did enjoy the last time John was on. Very informative.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Now, before you get off here, make this quick. Do you mind telling us your Northport story? You okay with that, Sandra?
Sure. Yeah. You mean the basketball story or the soccer story?
Yes.
You must be famous.
I've got a lot of Northport stories. But
yeah, the finals for Northport.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So I was fortunate enough to play sports with a lot of really good teammates, athletes. Very, very competitive growing up, and we were able to win a soccer state championship when I was a sophomore, and then a basketball state championship when I was a junior. And we had a heck of a run, and still great memories of that. And a little known side fact was that we were, with one exception, every player on that team was the younger or youngest brother in the family. Oh, so we were used to getting kind of had to be tough. We were roughed up by our older brother.
Hey, Sander, didn't several of your starters or basketball teammates, didn't you all wind up in education at some point, like in the same school system or something?
Yeah, not in the same school system.
Well, same county.
Dan Stowe just retired as a teacher out of Northport. Jason Stowe. And Dan, of course, was the one who made the last second shot to win the game.
Unforgettable.
Jason,
wow.
Yeah, Jason retired as a superintendent out of Leland, and he made the last second shot in the district to help us advance to beat Glen Lake. And then I, of course, was in education and retired here a couple of years ago. And then, of course, I could list off all the teammates and the great things that they've done in their respective careers, but I know you've got to talk finances here. So.
All right. Appreciate the call, Sander.
All right.
Shout out to you. Take care now.
Yep.
All right.
Colleen and I, I'd say, add one thing. We're doing news. That was back in the late 80s, I think. 88, 89, perhaps, that they won the basketball championship.
I don't know.
We remember the bus coming home from wherever they played downstate through Traverse City on its way to Northport, and people were out on the streets. Like, everybody in Northwest Michigan was cheering for them.
That's incredible. That sounds great.
What a story. I mean, little Northport.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rock and rolling all the way to the finals and then winning.
Yep.
I remember watching that game almost like it was yesterday. Jeez, oh, Pete, I couldn't believe he hit that shot.
Very exciting.
So fun. So fun. So how to retire during recession? Understand your health expenses, not only now, but what they can be in the future. Think through that. Some of this begs for a financial plan. What are the details of my increasing health care cost? What are my incomes going to be? What can I generally count on for income, whether it's a pension? What option should I take there? How much income can I expect conservatively from a portfolio? How do I draw from that? And how do I withstand these downs? Where is my own risk tolerance? Not easy to walk through right now because it's tough. It's just tough. The real estate market is starting to see a downturn now too. So they all have their downtime trends. And some of the older money managers, if you will, have said, well, we needed a recession. And to them, I say, thank you very much. Can't really say that I look forward to it. But,
right.
You know, the old geezers say that anyway, whoever they are. Review next your Social Security benefits. Review your Social Security benefits to see whether or not you ought to extend before you collect. You know, how long are we going to live? And Heidi's going to talk about that in some more detail, too, in terms of spousal benefits. Next, see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, lower living expenses. You know, you've all seen these articles from the ultimate penny hoarder cheapskates out there who know really how to cut expenses. Well, we may all decide that we want to raise some more stuff in the garden or whatever it is to cut those expenses. Darling, I think I'll buy a Mazda instead of a Cadillac. Mm. Whatever that is.
Cut
right?
the cord.
Yes.
Cut the cable.
Yeah. Cut that cable. Lastly, and I thought this was interesting, talk to others. What are they doing? Community. What are they doing about what's going on? How are they handling this? How are they navigating what's going on? You know, we understand that. You may be surprised what people are doing. All so right. We'll try to get to the rest of this toward the end of the show in terms of recessionary help. But there was a question. How do you estimate what your health care costs are going to be that far into retirement? Well, there are general axioms. First of all, you obviously want to take a look at your own health habits, history, parents, and all the rest. Secondly, there are general costs that Fidelity and others have shown what you're going to pay over a lifetime. It's not cheap. It's about $250,000 over a lifetime for a single individual, about $500,000 for a couple in terms of lifetime medical expenses. So think about that in terms of, now that may be high for
that's
some.
Lifetime or that's retirement?
Lifetime. Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Oh.
That is retirement,
okay.
Speaking specifically to that. So for some, it might be probably an average of 20 to 25 years or so. Given their retirement at age 62 to 65, 25 years, you're looking at 85 to 90, somewhere in there.
Does that include your I don't know if you have Medicare, you pay premiums, everything.
Cost, out-of-pocket cost, MedSup cost, all the rest. Medicare premiums.
Band-Aids, everything.
Band-Aids, Aspirin.
Aspirin?
Aspirin.
Yeah, aspirin. That too.
That too. Mm-hmm. All right, so Heidi,
yes.
Social Security benefits for spouses.
Spousal. Yes, I found this article in Investment News. It is by Mary Beth Franklin, who is their Social Security expert, and she always has interesting articles, and this one was about the difference between spousal benefits when one spouse is alive and survivor benefits after one spouse dies, because, of course, they're different. And we talk about Social Security quite often on the show because the rules are a little bit crazy, and I think Deanne has a stat for us which will help us understand that.
I do. If Social Security seems a bit overwhelming, it's probably because it is. According to the stats, Social Security has more than 2,700 rules that govern benefits. And a lot of those rules are exceptions
to the rule. So if you're confused, that is probably one of the elements that contributes to that. A spouse who hasn't worked long enough, that would be 10 years, to qualify for their own retirement benefit may still be eligible for what we call spousal benefits. A spousal benefit is worth up to 50% of the working spouse's full retirement age benefit amount. So to collect spousal benefit, the couple must be married for at least 1 year. So you have to be married for 1 year. And the working spouse has to have claimed their Social Security retirement benefits to trigger a spousal benefit for the other spouse. So if your spouse hasn't claimed and you don't qualify, you can't get any benefit on your spousal benefits. Until
if you don't qualify for your own benefit, is that what
correct.
You're saying?
Yes. All right.
So you can collect on either one, either the spousal benefit or your own benefit in most cases.
Well, this is for people who don't qualify, so they don't have their own benefit.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
That's the example I was giving.
All right, great.
Okay. So many spouses are entitled to their own benefit, like Dennis said, especially as some of the women who jumped into the workforce back in the 80s and 90s are now considering retirement. So they may be eligible for a spousal benefit if an individual's benefit as a spouse is higher than their own benefit that they have earned. They will get an additional amount so that the combination of benefit equals that higher amount. So what they're saying is, when you retire, if you have your own benefit, but you also are married and you have a spousal benefit available, they will look at both numbers, and whatever number is higher, that is the benefit that you would receive.
So while you're both alive and collecting?
Right.
Okay. Isn't that wild? So what I'm thinking is, you know, if you are single at this age and you're dating, you might want to ask this person, do you know what your Social Security benefits are? You
right.
Know, just
right.
So, as a part of the
right.
gauging of interest there.
And you also want to time that because you have to be married a year before you can.
All right. Great.
All right.
So 1 year you have to be married before you can collect on a spouse's benefits.
Correct. So let's use an illustration because that might help a little bit. So here's our illustration. Linda reaches her full retirement age next month and is eligible for a $1,100 a month benefit. Her higher earning husband, and we call him Rick, reaches his full retirement age 6 months later in March when he will be eligible for a $3,300 monthly benefit. So, can Linda start drawing her benefit next month, her $1,100 benefit, then switch to the higher spousal benefit of $1,650, half of Rick's full retirement age benefit? And the answer is yes. If Linda claims Social Security at her full retirement age, she will automatically step up to a higher spousal benefit amount once her husband claims his Social Security.
Hmm. Okay.
Pretty radical. So obviously what that's saying is she can collect on her own, and then when her husband decides to collect all the way up to age 70,
correct,
she gets, as long as she is at full retirement age, or FRA,
yes,
which is about 66 and some
between
odd months right now.
Between 66 and 67.
Yeah, 66 yeah. and change, as they might say. She can collect half of his benefits. Up to 50% of his benefits, and we have a question.
Yes, we will go to the telephone.
Yes.
To Atlanta, Michigan. Ray is on the line. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, guys. Question. I have been hearing about a Social Security refund amount, and I am not getting any information or hearing anything additional about that.
A refund, Social Security refund, like refunding what?
They said Social Security benefit for the last year, and it was $700 to $800, something like that.
Oh, so if they raise the COLA, if they raise the amount, are they doing some retroactive thing?
No. I think what they're now. Bob Simpson is not with us right now. I'm sure he's listening. Hello, Bob. He heads up the local Social Security office. But I think what he's referencing is the fact that you can actually, in the first year of your benefits, you can start and stop those benefits. And in essence, you can refund the amount back to Social Security and then continue on working and get the higher amount later. I think that's what that's referencing.
So it's like you never took it if
as,
you pay
as
it
though
back.
You never took the benefit.
Right.
That's the, I think the route they're referencing the Social Security.
That clarifies it, you know, at least to some degree. But another question is, are we going to be looking at what they keep reporting on because of inflation? Social Security is tied to that.
Yes.
You know, 8 to 10% increase this coming year.
Most likely. That is calculated as of the end of September, so
right.
You've got few days left in that.
Yeah. We talked about that a couple months ago,
sure.
That it is at the end of September, mm-hmm. And if it keeps on track with the way that it is right now, there will be a substantial, based on history, sure. A substantial increase, but we don't know what September is going to bring, so we have to wait, and you can't say with any certainty until we get to the end of September.
I would give a rough estimate of 8.5 to 9%. You know, that's probably where we're going to come at it. Obviously, it's going to depend on how much the CPI has come down in the last month here.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys.
You're welcome.
All right, Ray, thanks for the call. And Traverse City Social Security Office serves a good chunk of northern Michigan. It's a toll-free number at 866. That's 866-739-4802.
Great. Thank you, Ron.
Yep.
All right, Heidi, go on, please.
Okay. So what happens in our example of Linda and Rick? What happens if Rick dies? Well, if Rick dies, Linda would no longer be a spouse, so she would be a survivor, and she would survivor benefits are worth 100% of what her late husband was collecting when he died. So survivor benefits are different than spousal benefits. The amounts are different, but Dennis and I use this a lot when we talk to people, when we're doing financial plans, or we're talking to people about when to claim that Social Security, because especially if the spouse doesn't qualify for their own benefit, you may want to look at providing the highest income for that spouse when one spouse passes away. So you want to take a look at these different pieces so that you can make the best path, not just for right now, but for in the future.
Strategizing, seriously, because most folks really underestimate their life expectancy, usually by about 5 to 10 years, especially listeners of WTCM, because, number one, they had dogs. People with dogs tend to live longer. Thank you very much. Number two, they listen to WTCM. They tend to be healthier and smarter. Okay.
There you go. Dennis's stats.
Yeah, those are mine.
There you go.
Surprise. Now, there is one caveat at the end, the last paragraph here, Heidi, and I want you to cover this. Survivor benefits, if you will, starting. Survivor benefits are available as early as age 60.
Yes. Survivor benefits are available as early as age 60 compared to 62. For retirement benefits, but the amount is reduced to as little as 71.5% of the late worker's benefit amount if the survivor claims before their own full retirement age.
Now circle the word if. So if. A lot of it still depends on when you decide to collect. It makes a difference.
And once you step up to that larger survivor benefit, then your spousal benefit goes away. You only get one. So,
all right. Any other points you want to make, Heidi?
Unlike retirement benefits, survivor benefits do not continue to grow by 8% per year if postponed beyond the full retirement age until age 70. So once you hit full retirement age, it's not going to increase 8% per year like your own benefit would. So when you hit full retirement age, that's the time to take it.
The last time you ought to take it. FRA, full retirement age.
Right. And if you haven't, go and do that.
Yes. Now, that's a great point, too. You may be surprised at what those benefits are because you're this old. You know, you're 66 in a few months, you know, nearing full retirement age. Now, I think full retirement age at 67 is for those born in 1965.
60 and after.
65.
60.
That's 60?
Yeah.
You're sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay, she is.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 1960.
Because from 1955 to 1960 is that five-year span where we do 66 in 2 months, 66.
Ah, look, that's why she's here, Ron.
It's just like a human calculating encyclopedia person.
She's encyclopedia.
All right, let's jump into the radio show stats for today, and these are from Robinhood. The U.S. added 315,000 jobs, slightly lower than expected, and the lowest monthly gain since April 2021.
Wow, in July, interesting.
Yes, in July, the U.S. gained 526,000 roles.
So a bunch.
Yes.
But a big change.
It is.
They were happy with that stat, but still quite hot, if you will. All right.
The unemployment rate jumped to 3.7% from 3.5% in July, mostly because more people started looking for work. The average hourly earnings grew 5.2% from a year earlier, slowing from July's pace.
Isn't that interesting, too? Yes. We were talking about that before the show. It's still not keeping up with inflation.
Right, exactly.
So that's people will have are having to adjust.
Exactly.
There you are.
So this is a staggering stat. Can I say that? The Great American Battery Boom. Companies are investing billions in the U.S. battery biz, and it's all for EVs, which is electrical vehicles. Last week, Honda and LG Energy announced plans to build a $4.4 billion U.S. EV battery plant. Toyota pledged an extra $2.5 billion to its U.S. battery factory, and Bosch said it'd spend $200 million to build fuel cells in South Carolina. GM, Stellantis, and Hyundai have committed billions to Made in USA batteries, taking advantage of billions in EV funding through President Biden's infrastructure climate bills to gain juice in the e-race.
Yeah, that's amazing to me. It'll be interesting to see. You know, the argument, of course, is, well, how practical are those things going to be, given that, you know, you get stuck in a snowstorm and you're sitting there for, you know, 12 hours. How long is your battery going to last? You know, there are always those. Always. Sometimes there are those issues with new technologies. But obviously, they've done some research there that would cause them to want to spend that kind of money. So the storage capacity of these batteries is skyrocketing. That's what's going to be, I think, a huge part of what we're looking at. Storage capacity and then size. Storage capacity zooming up and size coming down. So those capacities are really rising, and it's going to be interesting. I think they're going to be more and more useful in the future, and hopefully more reasonable in cost. We'll see that part, right?
Yes. And here's a fun little stat for all you pet lovers out there. Petco and Chewy paid pet owners, or said pet owners, aren't trading down on fancy foods for their furries. Despite inflation, owners are splurging on gourmet meals.
So even your dog Boomer is getting helped out there.
Yes, my little short red haired dachshund. He has wrinkly cankles. That's because of what we feed him. He's adorable.
Was there something wrong with
that? There's a Social Security question. I don't know if it's one you can answer, if that's for Bob Simpson. It says, if I drew Social Security retirement benefits at age 62, can I still apply now for the higher benefits on my living husband's higher benefits? I am 75. So can she apply for the higher benefits that her husband's receiving from Social Security?
Well, it would all depend on what she was drawing on. At 62, did she start taking spousal benefits at that point? How much older was he? So it depends on a lot of different nuances. But if her husband is now retiring and starting his Social Security, which is the trigger for spousal benefits, is that the person whose benefit yours is based off of is taking Social Security benefits as well. That would be a determiner whether you would get a bump up or not. But not enough information for to make an exact answer to that question.
Correct. And if you're uncertain, contact the local Social Security office. Usually Social Security has already made those adjustments and her benefits in this case automatically. But if you're uncertain, check it. You know, check with them.
It doesn't hurt to check because, you know, sometimes it's not right.
You bet. Great questions. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Very good.
See, you can make a difference. You can make a difference. Now, next, how much time do we have here, Ron? How are we doing?
We have about, say, 3 minutes.
3 minutes. We'll take it. So look at financial projections. It is in your best interest, in your best interest to work an extra year or two and wait for the economy to get better. You want to know that important information. So when you're looking at retirement, is it going to make much difference? I've had clients who say, you know, I think I'm all done. I need a year away from work. Well, that still applies in the specific case I'm thinking, because they've done a great job saving, and they were really relatively expensive and conservative, rather, in their expenses for retirement. So there are a lot of components that come into this. You have to look at your own. Next, evaluate your portfolio. Is it set for non-accumulation and more about income? Is your portfolio set for income? Have you set it up with you and your advisor to produce that income that you want, especially through this down, so that you're not having to liquidate assets related to the stock market?
And that's really important because there are products out there that are better, that are designed better for drawing income than others. And so it's important as to where you're taking that income.
Indeed. Consider your work options. That I call this the medication of a recession. For individuals who are healthy enough to continue working, staying employed for another year or two may be an option. Every year you work can help you build up more retirement savings, obviously, and potentially increase your eventual Social Security benefits, too. So it's not just about the fact that you're getting the income. It could be that you're not having to take as much income from your retirement accounts, and or you're still getting credits from Social Security. So it may be a trifecta.
Ah. Yeah, and usually when you're approaching retirement, you're at your highest earning years, and so getting credit for those higher earnings can help raise the benefits.
See, there's four. Yes. So, you know, it's your average of 35, your 35 best years. So some of you may have started working when you were 18 to 20, and now, you know, you're well beyond 35 years. Well, that income adds then to your Social Security benefits and can add, obviously, then the income that you take.
You can replace one of those lower earning years with the higher earning year.
Yeah. Okay.
If your full retirement age, FRA, is that what you called it?
Yes.
Yep.
Is 66 and change.
Yes.
You decide to work till you're 70. Does the your benefit go up each month, every year through 70?
It does.
It does. It stops at 70 then, right?
It stops at 70. No longer increases.
All right.
So you might as well take it at 70.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they force you to. You have to. They don't give you an option.
They knock on your door. Take this money.
You must take this money. So next, lastly, review your Social Security benefits. What difference will it make for you in monthly income? If you can know those numbers through the financial plan that you've run, and or just the estimates that you do on that you pull up on SSA.gov, a great site to look at these estimates.
Yeah,
we do this often with clients. Show them, where are you at? What difference is it going to make? And what are your other options? It's all part of that decision-making process. And we're out of time, are we not?
We are almost out of time. We have enough time to say a nice goodbye. So as always, Prout Financial Design on the radio Thursdays 10 to 11 live on WTCM. Podcast anytime, just go to proutfinancialdesign.com. And a repeat on the radio Saturday mornings at 9 a.m.
It's on there.
Thank you,
Ron.
Heidi Cartwright, Deanne Jennings.
Thank you, Ron.
And Mr. Dennis Prout, thank you.